Imagine a world where Christians actually resembled Jesus, where faith wasn't about religious affiliation, but about a transformed life. This disconnect haunted John Mark Comer until he made a revolutionary discovery. Jesus never invited people to convert to Christianity. He invited them to apprentice under him. This ancient understanding of discipleship offers a path forward for modern believers seeking authentic transformation. In a culture increasingly disillusioned with performative religion, Comer's invitation to practice Jesus' way speaks to both the spiritually curious and the religiously exhausted. The question isn't whether you believe in Jesus, but whether you're following him and what that actually means in daily life. We're all being formed. The question is, into what and by whom? Despite our culture's mantras about autonomy, powerful forces constantly shape us. Social media algorithms, entertainment choices, and cultural narratives aren't just content we consume. They're sophisticated formation tools rewiring how we think and live. In first century Jewish culture, rabbis attracted followers through their interpretation of thriving in God's world. Disciples would leave everything to follow their rabbi with three goals: to be with them constantly, become like them in character, and eventually do what they did. When Jesus said, "Follow me," he wasn't inviting people to adopt beliefs, but to organize their entire lives around apprenticing under him. While about 63% of Americans self-identify as Christians, only around 4% could be considered apprentices who have restructured their lives around following Jesus. The crisis of Western Christianity is that we've created an environment where you can be Christian without being a disciple. Jesus' gospel wasn't merely about heaven after death, it was about God's kingdom available now to anyone who would trust and follow him. The foundation of apprenticeship to Jesus is simply being with him. Jesus taught that the Holy Spirit is how his apprentices experience his presence now. To be with the Spirit is to be with Jesus, and to be with Jesus is to be with the Father. We're all abiding in something. Whatever we abide in forms us. Social media into anxious people, streaming platforms into restless people. Abiding in God forms the fruit of the Spirit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and more. As we practice turning our minds toward Jesus, something remarkable happens. A.W. Tozer noted that setting the direction of our hearts toward Jesus creates a habit of soul that becomes a spiritual reflex requiring no conscious effort. This isn't merely positive thinking, it's contemplation. Looking at God, looking at you, in love. Following Jesus requires a diversion-free place to be alone with the Father. Jesus followed a rhythm of retreat and return. Whether you pray in a quiet room or prayer walk through a park, find your secret place and visit often. The uncomfortable truth? Following Jesus requires unhurrying your life. Most of us live time-torn lives, wanting to be with Jesus but too busy to pray. This requires cutting out more than we add in. When we die, what will matter most is who we became. David Brooks distinguishes between resume virtues, accomplishments, and eulogy virtues, character. Everyone undergoes spiritual formation. We're all shaped by genetics, family patterns, childhood wounds, education, habits, relationships, and environments. Formation in Jesus' way means becoming people of love in Christ. Like physical growth, it happens gradually over a lifetime at an often imperceptible rate, challenging our instant gratification culture. If we lose sight of this slow pace, we'll either grow discouraged or settle for mediocrity. Formation isn't something we do, but something done to us by God as we yield to his transforming grace. As Augustine said, "Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not." The acid test is love. Are we becoming more loving? Many Christians lack a working theory of change, relying on ineffective strategies like willpower, mere Bible study, or waiting for divine intervention. A complete theory includes teaching, practices, community, the Holy Spirit, time, and even suffering, which can become our moment of transformation. Apprenticeship ultimately means carrying on the Master's work. Jesus promised followers would do his works and greater things through his power. His ministry followed three rhythms: making space through hospitality, preaching God's kingdom, and demonstrating the gospel through healing, deliverance, prophecy, and justice. If overwhelmed, remember Paul's image of the church as the body of Christ. As Thomas Kelly notes, the loving presence puts upon each of us just a few central tasks. We cannot die on every cross. This journey requires both vision and plan. A rule of life, from Latin regula, meaning straight piece of wood, functions like a vineyard trellis, guiding growth. Everyone already has a rule, written or unwritten. The question is whether it's giving you the life you want. A good rule provides structure for nurturing growth and removing hindrances. Core practices from Jesus' lifestyle include Sabbath, solitude, prayer, fasting, scripture, community, generosity, service, and witness. Start where you are, with small, joyful practices. Think subtraction, not addition. Following Jesus means doing less, not more. Remember, no formation without repetition. Following Jesus demands leaving something behind, whether possessions, relationships, or ingrained patterns. Jesus stated clearly, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." This surrender forms the bedrock of authentic spiritual life, not occasional sacrifice, but a settled intention to put to death our self-will. While discipleship requires significant sacrifice, not following Jesus ultimately costs far more. The price of non-discipleship includes missing life with God, transcendent peace, joy, freedom from sin, emotional healing, transformative forgiveness, and adoption into God's family. The spiritual journey unfolds not as a straight line, but as falls and recoveries. As a Finnish Orthodox monk observed, "We fall and get up, fall and get up, fall and get up again." These failures don't disqualify us. They confirm our humanity and need for grace. The key isn't perfection, but persistence, beginning again after each fall. When the path becomes challenging, take one small step, proceed slowly, and when you fall, resist shame by leaning into God's mercy. Fall and get up, and always begin again. Following Jesus doesn't work as a hobby. We can't simply add Jesus to our overbusy, consumeristic, emotionally unhealthy, digitally distracted lives. Following Jesus must be the main point, centering him as the dominant voice over your own. This doesn't mean becoming a literal monk, but finding your inner monk. As Ken Shigematsu wrote, every one of us has a monk or nun embryo inside of us. There's a monastic impulse in all of us, craving quiet prayer and contemplation alongside deep relationships. The practices themselves aren't the goal. They're means to position ourselves for transformation by God's grace into people who naturally embody Christ's character. Though the path may be narrow at first, as Benedict wrote, our hearts will eventually overflow with the inexpressible delight of love.